I'm Kate Botello.
I'm David Castleman, and you're listening to The Green Room, your weekly dose of arts and culture from Interlochen Public Radio. Today on The Green Room, the king of musical parodies, and one of Kate's favorites, Weird Al Yankovic.
Yes, David, I've been listening to Weird Al since I was a kid, and especially loving this song, Lasagna. It's rather dear to my family because my father's childhood nickname was Luigi. And Weird Al was the one artist that we could all agree on when it was time to choose music for family road trips.
And you're going to see him this weekend, right, at the Cherry Fest in Traverse City?
Yes, I am. Yes, it's true. We watched for the Facebook announcement, and we just sat there going, refresh, 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 till we got our tickets.
All right. Weird Al put out his 14th album last year, Mandatory Fun, an album that hit number one on the Billboard chart, and also an album that spawned the hit Foil, which, of course, is a parody of Lorde's song Royals.
I never seem to finish all my food. I always get a doggy bag from the waiter.
We caught up with Weird Al earlier this week, and he gave us an idea of how he first came up with the idea for Foil.
I made a list of every possible variation I could do with the song Royals. And going down the list of ideas, Foil just kind of struck me because I thought of the kind of a dramatic turn that song could take, going from an endorsement of aluminum foil to a full-on conspiracy theory manifesto.
You've got black helicopters come across the border, puppet masters for the new world order. Be aware.
You got really popular during the age of MTV and when music videos were really the thing. Is it harder to find the right song to parody, the song that everyone knows, since the age of MTV has seemingly kind of gone away?
Yeah, it's not so much just MTV, but that's part of it. I think that there was more of a monoculture back then, and MTV certainly fed into that because people, you know, would watch MTV for countless hours every day, and if a song was in heavy rotation and got played eight times a day on MTV, the people that cared about music would become intimately familiar with the visuals there. And nowadays, because of the internet, everybody's attention is scattered in a thousand different directions, and that's a good thing. The variety is good, but it makes it a little bit more difficult to really pinpoint what exactly is the mainstream, what are the hits, who are the superstars. It's a little bit more scattershot now.
A lot of the music that you write is your own. It's original. Do you feel like you get more satisfaction out of playing those songs and writing those songs, or does it feel similar to the parody songs that you do?
I do have more of a sense of accomplishment having written an original song that I'm really proud of, because there's more of me in the song, of course. But I get validation either way. I enjoy doing the parodies and I enjoy doing the originals. And I don't think that I'd ever really want to give up one completely in favor of the other because they both satisfy, you know, different creative needs, I guess.
Weird Al Yankovic plays the Cherry Festival in Traverse City this Sunday. Thanks for coming on The Green Room.
My pleasure. Thank you.
I'm glad that you found somebody new. 'Cause I'd rather spend eternity eating shards of broken glass than spend one more minute with you.
You're listening to The Green Room from Interlochen Public Radio.
But you got to have friends.
Marty Jo Link is a memoirist from Michigan, and her newest memoir is about a 25-year friendship with a close group of women. The friends have a quarter century's worth of stories and also a name, the Drummond Girls. Marty Jo Link named the book after the group. IPR's Morgan Springer met up with her at her home outside Traverse City.
Once a year, the Drummond Girls trade in their daily schedules for a few days of freedom on Drummond Island. They use that freedom to two-track, search for bears, and drink more than they probably should, but as much as they want. Over the years, they've formed a sisterhood. In 2003, after one of the Drummond Girls passed away, they took a pledge. Marty Jo Link read it to me.
I, state your name, pledge upon a jello shot, a Drummond Island girl I'll be, beginning from this spot. I pledge
the first time they said it, the seven remaining girls were standing in the parking lot of the Michigan Welcome Center on Drummond Island, Jell-O shot in one hand, the other hand raised to take the pledge.
Let there be light. I pledge that when each evening's through, to each of my sister witches, a loving phrase of a sister gone, door, bitches. I'm getting choked up a little bit by that.
Why do you think that makes you feel choked up?
It makes me feel choked up because of all of the memories attached to those lines.
Marty Jo Link says the girls are all different from each other, different politics, careers, and family structures.
And I think that might be what has bonded us even stronger, because each one of us kind of has this little role in the group. If we were all the same, you know, I don't think we would need each other as much.
For a quarter century, these women have celebrated and soldiered through the transitions in their lives together, from marriages and births to divorces and deaths. Marty says when she was in high school, she, quote, believed the part of me that made friends was defective. These women taught Marty she was a worthy friend after all.
There's a particular kind of love that is reserved for friends. It's really non-judgmental. You know, even our love for our children or our spouses, there's a little element of judgment in there.
But Marty says not the Drummond girls. Marty wanted to write about the girls for a long time, but she wasn't sure her friends would appreciate it. Then they suggested it. They said, tell our story, no restrictions. So Marty did. For Interlochen Public Radio, I'm Morgan Springer.
Marty Jo Link's book, The Drummond Girls, comes out July 14th, and she'll be doing a book signing at Horizon Books in Traverse City on July 18th.
And this is The Green Room from Interlochen Public Radio. Michael Culler produced the show. Sally Isley is our executive producer. If you'd like to hear The Green Room again or share it with your friends, you can find it online at interlochenpublicradio.org. I'm David Castleman.
I'm Kate Botello. See you next time.